come to be with you. He's I'm normally a personal intern to Pastor Dave, so normally when he travels or if he's speaking somewhere, then I'll go with him and I'll minister to him, I'll minister with him. I've done that for about maybe 7 years now, 6 or 7 years, so I've done that a little while. And that's always quite exciting. You get to see interesting people in interesting places, and you works well. So I'm married, I've been married for a couple of years now. I've got a couple of little kids, my beautiful wife Sarah, and we've got two little girls, Rebecca and Abigail. Rebecca, who's about so big, and totters across the floor in her little dress and kind of likes doing a little twirl, which is very cute. And Abigail, who's only about 12 weeks old, so she doesn't really do anything other than smile every now and then, which is very cute. I've been in church, I've been a Christian for about maybe 15 years now. I think that sounds like quite a long time when you say it, doesn't it? It sounds a little while. I would imagine, though, that there's folks here that have been Christians a lot longer, I would guess. But I got saved at a little youth camp that I went to when I was about 15, 16 years old, and God has been very good to me ever since. Who here would say God has been good to them in the years that you've known him? Yeah, I think that would be pretty universal, really. So that's a little bit about me. Before I get going, maybe could I pray for us? Yeah. Father, we love your word. We love it when you speak to us. We love it when you speak a word that's in season, that brings great change to our lives, that brings hope where there's no hope, that brings revelation, that brings light into dark places. And so we pray this morning in the name of Jesus, God, that there would be hope and there would be light and there would be something of revelation from your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Last week I wasn't here, but I understand that Pastor Alan was speaking with you last week. Who can tell me what Alan was speaking on? On mission. That's what my notes say. I got the notes from a classmate. And I understand you've been doing a little series about, for the last few weeks, about church and about different bits in church and on mission and outpouring and scripture and living and kingdom and community. Does that sound about right? I think Alan and different speakers have been unpacking some of and trying to understand some of the shocking manner in which the way Jesus did stuff was totally new, that was totally, totally different. Does that sound about right? Excellent, that's good. and so this morning, hopefully, what I would like to bring will hopefully flow along in line with that. And the topic I'm going to talk on is about change. So everyone say with me, change is good. Because change is necessary. So that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. But to start with, maybe we could all say together the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, some would call the Lord's Prayer. So, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. It's very well, we all know that, I would think, or certainly most of us would know that if you've been in church for any length of time. And the bit that I'd like to pick up on in that this morning is the bit where it says, on earth as it is in heaven. There's something really important about that. Let me just say it again. On earth as it is in heaven. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. And that's really important for us, because isn't it the case that we need to live our lives in the very conscious of the fact that we only want to be doing what it is that we see the Father doing? Yeah? And that leads a bit of a question for us. What is it that we're doing? What are we doing? In our lives, what do we do? And I feel like I bring the little kind of nugget from the Holy Spirit that I've got that I want to to leave and impart this morning, besides the question of that change is good because change is necessary, comes out of Matthew 18. In Matthew 18, it says, most certainly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatever things you release on earth will have been released in heaven. Now, some versions say what you bind on earth is bound in heaven, but the World English Bible, which is the translation that I've just read from, says, whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven. Whatever you release on earth will have been released in heaven. There's a sense in which we can speak into being a release as we see it going on in heaven, as we see the heaven releasing things to us. We can speak out a release of that thing on earth such that it comes to pass. And this morning, I feel like there's a sense of release for us. So I wonder if I could have a willing volunteer or a helper, maybe. I don't know. I'll borrow you two if I may. Could everyone, a piece of blank paper? Because my message this morning is about a blank piece of paper. So we will all have a blank piece of paper, and then at different junctures we can enthusiastically wave our blank piece of paper in the air, which will make for a good sermon reminder. So once we all have our piece of paper, wave it enthusiastically, which will also create a bit of a draft, because it is a beautifully warm day today. And my questions, my little thing for us this morning is, I feel like the Lord would release to us a blank piece of paper. I believe he would release to us the opportunity to have a blank piece of paper, to consider the possibility, thanks, that's great, to consider the possibility that actually life doesn't need to be the way it's always been. It can be blank. So this morning, as I'm talking, most of what I'm going to be talking to is this blank piece of paper. I believe there's a permission this morning. I release a permission over us to have a little bit of fresh insight, have a little bit of a fresh moment of what are we doing? Are we doing what we see the Father's doing? Are we doing on earth as it is in heaven? Now, I'm not talking about, just for clarity's sake, I'm not talking about marriage here. If you're married, you're married. We're not talking about a blank piece of paper in that respect. We're not talking about church either. We're not talking about, am I at this church, am I at that church, am I at a different church? We're talking about, how is it that we do life? What are the sacred things that we do with life? What are the things that we kind of in our head go, well, we've always done it this way, therefore we must always do it this way, because that's just the way we do it. We've always done it that way. For example, I was trained as a programmer, a computer programmer. And for me, a couple of years ago, I sat down and I was like, well, God, what would you have me do? And in a little moment of having a little blank piece of paper, everyone wave your blank piece of paper at me, which we'll do enthusiastically. God said to me, I think it'd be good for you to purchase some property. I was like, it's a bit different. I'm a computer programmer. I know about computers. There are no buildings. There are no houses in computers. So I said, very good, jolly good. And so I diligently went and bought a house, which was very exciting and quite terrifying. Sometimes there's times where we can kind of go, what is it that we need to do differently? For me, it actually ended up being a change of job. That was my little moment. This morning will be a little prompt to create a little bit of space to consider a change for other things, maybe how we do prayer, maybe how we do worship, maybe how we do life, how we do our job, maybe where we spend our time. Creating space, just having the space in and of itself to sit down and say, what's going on, is really important, because otherwise we'll just keep doing the way we've always done it. And you kind of get 5 years down the line, you kind of go, oh, well, that's good. But I wonder what's God doing now? God was doing this, but now maybe he's doing that. So it's good to have a little moment to reflect. And creating that space also allows for us to have a little bit of creativity. Maybe God is saying something completely new to you. Maybe he's saying something to you that's completely different that you wouldn't have thought of before. Maybe he's saying go and do youth work. Maybe he's saying help serve in the church. Maybe he's saying can say. God, the Holy Spirit will be speaking to each of you in a way that you can understand, that in a way that is meaningful. My wife and I, we, as I say, we're very deliberate with this. We very deliberately sit down and we'll very deliberately try and spend time thinking about what it is that the Holy Spirit's saying to us. And so, not very regularly, but every couple of years, we'll sit down with our blank bit of paper and we'll, yeah, enthusiastic waving of the paper. So that when you remember me, you can remember there was this crazy gingerhead lad that came and he gave us a blank bit of paper and he waved it and he said, change is good because change is necessary. And every now and then we sat down and we've been very fortunate. Recently, we just moved house in September and I was working very hard. It was a season where almost every waking hour of the day was either involved in sorting out the house or sorting out some particular bit of my business that I run, or every waking hour. It was hard work. And God said to me one day, as I was sitting down having my little think, there is about to be a change in season. You're about to have a change in season, and you're about to go from having a... to actually, it's about to be a season of rest for you, Martin. I was like, oh, what does that look like? That looks really different. I'm less used to that. And it's really important that when God speaks about a change in season, that we're clear with what it is that God's saying to us. For me, in that little moment, I had to make a very conscious decision that I was deliberately going to slow down and stop doing some of the stuff we were doing. We're very fortunate to have moved house, but needed lots of the rooms needed decorating, lots of the bathrooms needed sorting out, there's lots and lots of stuff to do. But if I hadn't have stopped, we would have missed some things. Because that week that I stopped, and I was sitting down and I had a little space and I had a little walk in the park. Maybe you guys, you know, maybe you at home, maybe you're sitting, maybe you have a little sit, maybe you have a little moment where you sit in the garden, or you go for a little walk, or you do something, you just have a little moment going, what direction is stuff going in? What am I sowing my time into? What am I sowing my energy into? And for me, at that moment, it was a question of radiators. Not very exciting, I grant you. But our house didn't have any radiators. So I thought to myself, okay, well, since the house hasn't got any radiators, we're going to need some. Radiators are quite expensive. I don't know if you ever purchased radiators. And I was like, well, we're going to need maybe 20, 30 radiators, because we're very fortunate we have quite a large house. And so I was like, oh, well, that's going to be extraordinarily expensive. And in my little moment of resting, and in my little moment of just saying, okay, God, well, Holy Spirit, have you got some other alternative here? Holy Spirit said to me, why don't you have a little look on eBay? Now, it's very practical. I'm sorry it's so practical, but that's that. But I had a little look on eBay, and to cut a very, very long story very short, we managed to find very cheap radiators. I was like, praise God, that's very good. Very good. I've managed to achieve more in my 1 week doing nothing, it seemed to me, than in my 2 or 3 weeks, or actually 2 or 3 months, of very, very hard work. And then a little bit later that week, I was sitting down, I was having a little chat with God, and I said, God, lots of the rooms in our house haven't got any carpet in them. That's a bit upsetting. It'd be great if we had some carpet. Now, normally, the kind of thing that I would do is I'd go out and I'd do hard work, and I'd earn some, you know, make as much money as I could to then go and buy some carpet. But God had said to me, this is a little season of rest. So I was like, okay, well, we will sit and we will ask God, what's your plan here? What is it that you would like to do? And a day later, I got a phone call from a friend at church. She said, oh, there's this carpet warehouse just down the road, just next to where I work. She said, it's gone bust. I was like, oh, that's bad news. She said, the guy's just throwing all the carpets in the skip. And he said, well, I told him about the fact that you just moved house. And he said, well, if you drive down, that you could come and fill up your car with carpet. I was like, oh, praise the Lord. So I drove down in my car. I said, hello, sir. Oh, very good. Hi, I'm Martin. I said, I've just bought a house. You seem to be throwing all these carpets away. It looked like all right carpet. He said, yeah, no, it's just, we've got to get rid of them because the firm's gone bust and we need to relet the unit. And so, yeah, here, have some carpet. As much as we can fit in your car. I said, if I come back with a van, he said, yes. He filled up the van. There was so much carpet that our hallway, when you came into our hallway, you had to step up. You had to climb into the house over there was so much carpet. It turns out carpet's quite heavy, things you never knew. anyway, I digress. It's important. Now, if I had just worked and worked and worked, I'd keep going the way that I was doing. If I hadn't have been having a little moment of going, God, what are you saying? I would have just run past that moment. I would have missed it. It's really important that we know the season that we're in, and it's also important we know what to do in that season. Which very conveniently brings me on to my main point. Maybe if you've got Bibles and if you're able, can you turn with me to 1 Chronicles 12, 32. Just while you're turning there, let me give you a little bit of context to that. The context is in the history of Israel. Israel has said, oh, I want a king, I want a king, I want a king. God had said, you don't want a king. He said, we want a king, we want a king, we want a king. Samuel the prophet says, okay, God says you can have a king. Here's Saul. Saul reigns Israel, he doesn't really obey God particularly. He's not diligent to be attentive to what God's saying. And so God says to him, I'm going to bring about some change. I'm going to take the kingdom off you and I'm going to give it to another. King David, as he will eventually be, gets a word from God and he says, you're going to be king. Just by the by, that's an interesting moment there. David gets a word, he says, you're going to be king. But then there is a whole heap of time, and between that time and when he gets made king, a whole raft of stuff happens. Saul doesn't like the idea that change is coming, so he tries to kill David. David has his own little troubles that are going on. But eventually, it comes about that David has conquered Hebron, which is a city that's quite high up on the mountain. It's a difficult place to get to. It's not an easy city for them to conquer. But eventually does it, and Saul ends up dying, and David is about to be made king. And Israel has come to make David king. And the context of the verse that we're reading, because it's important that we understand what's before and where it kind of fits into the story so we understand it. David is listing out, or the writer is listing out, people that have been with David, his mighty men, the people that have brought stuff to him. And then in the particular passage that we're reading, it's talking about the tribes of Israel that have come to anoint David as king. And in verse 32, it says, the sons of Issachar, so the descendants from the tribe of Issachar, who understood the times, the seasons, and knew what to do in them, what Israel should do, 200 chiefs, with all their relatives under their command, saying the 200 chiefs from the tribe of Issachar who knew the times and the seasons and they knew what to do in them had come to anoint David king. So it's only one line. It's a curious one line in many ways, but there's lots in it because it's really important that we know what season we're in and we know what to do in that season. Sometimes, maybe there's seasons of different seasons. Maybe there's a season of hard work. You know, like I was saying, I had a season where it was all hard work. And it was just, you get up every day, you do your work, you do your work, you do your work, and there's a season for that, and that's important. And maybe, for some of you, with your blank bits of paper today, the change that's actually due to, that maybe God is suggesting for you to write on your bit of paper, is maybe you need to go and get a job. Maybe today is about getting a job. Maybe it's about saying, actually, there's a season for work and there's a season for being diligent at applying yourself to work. Maybe for some, it's a season of making home. Maybe it's a season about family, the making home and bringing home together and all that kind of thing. Maybe for some of you, it's a season of like going to war, kind of spiritually speaking, being persistent in fighting and battling for someone that's near to you, for praying for some breakthrough for them, for breakthrough in your own life, for that kind of thing. Maybe it's a season of rest where you just you're kind of in the hand of the king, and you're just you're in the palace, and you're just enjoying God's presence, and God is divinely sorting you out, and he's just there's a season of divine rest. But what season are you in? Now, I realize this isn't very usual for church, so forgive me, but will you permit me to do something a little different this morning? Excellent. Maybe just where you are, with two or three around you, with folks that you feel comfortable chatting to, just for 2 moments, have a little chat, and what season is it that you're in at the moment? Just with those around you, just so you can have a little chat and a discuss as to what that might be, and then we'll come back and continue in a second. Have a little moment of just briefly in that second considering which season you're in. I mean, in my list of four is by no means exhaustive. It's just to give us a little flavour of something to think about. But I would encourage you in the coming week to set some time aside to actually sit and think, what season am I in at the moment? And it might be that you kind of go, I'm in a season of really hard work. But I'd also encourage you to sit and say, what season is it that God has for me at the moment? What is it that actually I'm supposed to be doing? And if I may, let me just say, I permit you to dream. I permit you to hope. Because there's something about change that brings hope. For me, there's some sort of long, deep-seated hope within me about the type of job that I would like. And for this season of for me at the moment, it's been a little bit of a question, me saying, I wonder actually if God's saying I could do that. I've got my blank bit of paper again. I'm sitting down and kind of, yeah, we'll have a little wave of our blank bits of paper. But for me, it's been, and I would suggest for us this season, it's a season of saying, what does that blank bit of paper look like? Don't be inhibited by the fact that maybe it won't happen. Don't be inhibited by the fact that it seems hard or it seems impossible. When I bought my first house, I had no money. I had nothing. All I had was a prayer that went something along the lines of, Jesus, I think it'd be great if I bought a house. I think you're going to need to give me enough money to buy a house. And to cut, again, a very long story short, I got given, a couple of weeks later, I got given enough money to buy a house. It's a ridiculous story. It's just moments where you kind of go, just jaw-dropping, is it? But the goodness of God. And in the mix of it, you kind of go, it's important to see what it is that God's doing in the moment he's doing it. So yeah, for jobs and in church, maybe there's a change to be made in church. Maybe, you know, I was saying for some maybe it's a question of getting a job. For others, maybe it's a question of doing less work, cutting down your hours, spending more time with family. Maybe spending more time in church, maybe serving in church more. Equally, maybe actually saying I spend 24/7 in church. Maybe I actually need to go and spend some time with my wife, with my family, with my husband, maybe I need to spend, you know, I don't know. The Holy Spirit, let the Holy Spirit guide you. The answer will be clear to you. But allow yourself the opportunity of a blank bit of paper. Just because it doesn't seem like life can go that way doesn't mean that it can't. Because and let me just say again, everyone repeat after me, change is good because change is necessary. Because if we don't change, then in 40 years' time, we'll still be doing the same thing that we're doing in the same way that we're doing it, and everything will have moved past us, including the world. I have no problem with reading the Bible in Latin, but in some ways, if you just sit and do the same thing, you could draw an analogy to say, well, actually, in some ways, those that just have a Latin Bible, if you don't move with what the Holy Spirit is doing, and then you just stay stuck back in kind of the Middle Ages. We'd all have the old English Bible. It would never change. We'd still be doing tent crusades. We'd still be doing stadium crusades. Now, in some places, that's great. That's what God's doing. It doesn't seem that at the moment, certainly in Liverpool, that's not what God's doing. But if we don't acknowledge the season we're in, then we just keep doing the same thing we've been doing in the same way we've been doing it. Now, a health warning on this little on what I'm saying. There is a health warning. It comes with a label. The minute at which we start to say, what if we could do change, I find it really upsets my little internal emotional balance. Everything within me goes, oh my goodness, I'm scared. I don't know which way I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing with my week this week. Am I doing this? Am I doing that? Oh my goodness. Last week I knew that I was going to do my job and I was going to do that for 100 years and that was just going to be, it was always going to be the same way. And this week, I'm just not sure. What am I doing? Oh my goodness. But we're called to be courageous, aren't we? Yeah? And so I'd say be bold, be courageous. Bring up the idea of what you could do or how life might look. Doesn't necessarily mean this is going to be a change for tomorrow. There might be a bit of process with it. But faith is the substance of things we hope for, because change brings hope, doesn't it? Faith is the substance of change, and it's the evidence of things we don't see yet, where the change hasn't quite happened yet. So let's stand in faith as we hold on to what it is that we're seeing that God's doing. Now, for some this morning, the most profound change that you might make or might want to make is actually that you haven't given your life to Christ, that you haven't said, actually, Jesus, you're my king. For others, maybe actually the most significant change would be that there's a question of lordship, that actually there's God, you can have this area of my life and this area of my life, but maybe not my money, and or maybe not my time, or maybe not this, or maybe not that, or and maybe actually there's a moment to say, God, there's a little bit of change needed there. Maybe there's a question, a wider question of, you know, as I was saying, our work, our church, and our family life, and how there should be balance. So in conclusion, let me finish up by saying that change is good, because change is necessary. And I permit you to have your little blank bit of paper and to write something on it during the week. In Jesus' name, amen.